Well, welcome to this very special bonus episode of the Being Leaders podcast, where we've been exploring the fears, failures, and stuff-ups of the leadership journey. Our special guest in this episode is Steph Benton. And Steph is co-pastor and co-founder of New City Church, an inclusive community exploring faith in new and engaging ways. Steph is passionate about cultivating safe spiritual spaces for queer people and others. And in this episode, we explore insecurities, what we do when others talk bad about us, mentoring, accountability, and a whole stack more. It's a great conversation, and it's great to have you joining me and Steph today.
Well, welcome to the Being Leaders podcast. It's great to have you, and it's great to have Steph as my special guest today. How are you doing?
Yeah, going well.
Yep. You've had a big few months. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to over these lot of lockdown weeks here in Sydney.
Yeah. So spending a lot of time in my home with my housemate, and also pastoring a church in the online world, yeah. A church that we only started in July 2020. So we're about 15 months old. So we're about a year old when we all went into lockdown. So just trying to check in with people, make sure everyone's going okay, with the only avenue for support being online, you know, being restricted from traveling outside of 5 kilometers. Thankfully, my family have been in there. And then also writing a thesis to finish off my master's, which has been a really surprising excuse to be studious during this time, locked away writing. So I'm writing about masculinity in Greco-Roman antiquity, which is a bit niche. It's in the biblical field, and particularly talking about gender expansiveness and how, you know, gender ambiguity might be our answer to oppressive gender norms. But that's a whole nother topic.
Sounds pretty heavy.
A whole nother time.
Tell me a little bit about your church, your faith community. I'm curious, but I think it will give people some context that are listening.
Yeah, so we're a group of mainly queer Christians who started this church. The Sydney church scene, for those who don't know, it is quite conservative in terms of its culture. So there are very limited spaces for queer people to find faith communities in Sydney. I don't know why. It seems to be different in other places in Australia, but also not. And so we all got together and were on the edges of our church communities and thought, let's create a church for ourselves and for others like us.
Yeah.
And so a lot of our people that come are people who, for whatever reason, but a lot for their sexuality or gender identity, don't feel safe or welcome in their churches anymore, in their communities anymore, and are really searching for belonging and a new way of doing faith and community that is life-giving for them and life-giving for us.
I kind of find that this in our current culture, it's a pretty brave kind of move. Have you sort of felt like you had to kind of, you know, step out because, you know, of the way that this might be seen or viewed or I guess other people respond to it?
Yeah, I think that's potentially the difference between people who are queer in Christian spaces and people who aren't, is that, you know, stepping out feels like a choice for people who aren't queer. Yeah. But for us, it really hasn't been. So rather than feeling like something, I guess, huge, it's just felt like a necessity and that we've found ourselves in this space where it's like, well, we're not really welcome anywhere else. Let's find our own space. But I also think a lot of us have already done that hard journey. Grappling with what it means when our churches don't welcome us or include us in ways that we have previously been and have already been on that journey, I think, a little bit. But it's really hopeful and fresh and life-giving too. Like it feels like something new, and I'm really excited for the possibilities of New City Church and how it will grow and expand and how it will impact the world, really.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, I hear that story. Part of my heart breaks that's had to be your kind of option moving forward. But then at the same time, I feel that same sense of excitement, I guess, you know, that what you're doing and what you're birthing and what you're building is new and fresh and inclusive. And I believe, you know, really a powerful movement of what, you know, God wants to do in your context. So, yeah, I mean, well done.
Thanks,
you know,
Brett.
You sit in this kind of leadership space, and that's obviously what we're talking about is leadership, in particular talking about, you know, our fears or failures or challenges or mistakes or stuff ups and, you know, things that we've had to walk through as leaders, you know, and there's, you know, it's funny because I say, you know, do you have a fear or a failure that you've had as a leader? And most of you go, oh, yeah, many. Which one yes. do you want me to choose? So I am curious in this conversation to kind of hear, you know, part of your story, part of your challenge, what you might have walked through that you've, you know, found, you know, difficult as a leader specifically.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, part of what I've just described leads in very well to the biggest challenge that I've faced in leadership, which is the narratives that other people have had about me and my leadership based on my identity as a gay and a queer person.
Yeah.
So for me, I do identify as gay and genderqueer, and that's been a whole personal journey in and of itself. But while I've been grappling with who I am and figuring out who I am, a lot of other people have had things to say about me, often very negative. They've cast me in quite kind of distressing, I guess, ways, so to say that my leadership is leading people astray rather than actually a really wonderful gift.
Yeah.
So when I think about the biggest challenge for myself in sort of breaking through and becoming the leader who I've always sort of felt I was and naturally felt I was, has been about trying to strip away the layers of where external narratives have become my inner narrative and really finding my own inner narrative about myself. And I'm sure some of your listeners who identify as any sort of marginal or minority identity, whether they have a disability, they're culturally diverse, they're queer themselves, women, I think this is a really common experience is, these narratives that get said about us purely based on an identity about us and not actually about who we are and what we have to offer the world. And often that's
their perception too. It's not truth either.
Yes, totally. And I think this is where having just written a thesis, which has been exploring like the system of patriarchy. I know we throw around patriarchy a lot, and I think we can become a bit numb to it or, you know, switch off to it, but it really is the system that we swim in, that certain people, you know, generally well-educated white men are the ones who are naturally told, yes, you belong at the top, and even the top, you know, in inverted commas, because that's a whole conversation about leadership too, is it's hierarchical, it's dominant, it's often oppressive for some, it's can be resistant to collaboration, but particularly some of these really wonderful diverse voices are excluded from that space.
I mean, I know in my own leadership journey, you know, self-doubt is probably, you know, something that I've consistently had to overcome and work through. And again, for similar reasons, but, you know, I sit in a very different, obviously, seat. I am, you know, the white male, in a sense, and straight as well. So, you know, I tick kind of all those kind of boxes. But still, as a leader, Have certainly probably that kind of self-doubt, you know, just not believing in myself, not backing myself, listening to the voices of other people, allowing the things that, you know, they say, as you just sort of said before, to then begin to influence the, you know, what I think and say and believe to be true about myself internally. I mean, it's, you know, I think it's a challenge for all leaders, regardless of where they kind of sit and how they lead and what they're involved in. Would you agree?
Yeah, I hear people all the time, particularly people who are entrepreneurial or advocates or stepping out and doing something new, because it is fresh and it's stepping out of the mainstream. You can really self-doubt where you're going, because maybe there's not a lot of people who are out there with you. It's very isolating.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions about, you know, have I chosen the right path? And I think for me, some of the biggest learnings through that have been about that discernment of, what should I be listening to, or who should I be listening to, or really grounding yourself in your values, or where you even ground yourself. You know, that's a big question in of itself too. I think those are the grapplings.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I think even though, you know, we can ask ourselves those questions, you know, who do we listen to? What are the voices we're going to allow to speak into our lives? It's still pretty easy sometimes to allow all those other voices in, right?
Yep.
They seem louder for some reason.
Yes. Yeah. And I think other leadership, and particularly I'll just speak for my own context, which is the church context. Often that leadership is the most conservative, or the most resistant to change.
Yeah.
And so that's been part of the struggle too, is looking at other leaders in this space and seeing, well, this is very different. And actually, do I even want to be a leader if that's what leadership is? But being, like just finding it hard to find your space and your people is difficult.
And people can really hurt us as leaders through their words, behaviors, and actions. And, I know when I look back over my kind of leadership story, you know, I've been hurt and betrayed and misunderstood. And like, I'm not sure people are aware that as leaders, we're still human. We still have feelings. You know, we're still vulnerable and, you know, just doing the best we can, I guess, with, you know, what we have in our hand and what we believe is, you know, true and right. So through those experiences, you know, what sort of, I guess, habits or behaviors or things that you've done to actually help you sort of navigate your way through some of those challenges?
Yeah, I think I had a deep exploration into what even is leadership.
Yeah.
And who should be a leader, and what is good leadership and what is bad leadership, in terms of, you know, kind of two very binary words that maybe don't capture exactly what we're trying to say, but good and bad will suffice.
Yeah, for sure.
Really grappling with those foundational ideas and developing for myself, what is leadership? Who do I think a leader is, and what does that look like? Were really important for me, because of those, you know, I needed to develop my own sense of this rather than taking it from outside places. And I think a lot of that has come from being a Christian, being a pastor of a church. You can probably guess that a lot of my inspiration has come from my faith.
Yeah.
And really exploring stories in the Bible and the way that God shows leadership and Jesus shows leadership. So really exploring that. I don't know if you wanted me to riff more
I mean, we could talk for hours about some of that stuff, and it does intrigue me and fascinate me hearing people's leadership sort of journeys and the things that they've had to you know, struggle with and wrestle with and work through as leaders. So I am curious a little bit about, you know, so through that kind of wrestling yourself, you know, what is good leadership? What is bad leadership? What was your kind of, if you sort of in a nutshell, give us the outcome of that kind of thought wrestling process of where you've kind of landed on the other side?
Yeah. And I was grappling with this in my own personal life, as well as in the context of starting a church.
Yep.
And when you start a church, I think there's a lot of baggage around, you know, even the label of minister or pastoring and who those people are known to be in the community or have been. Yep. For other people. Yep. So I think it was really... And in the beginning of our church and starting, we sort of went with a more traditional model of a lead pastor, one person. But then as we had conversations around the kind of community and the kind of leadership space that we felt we needed, particularly with safety as a core value of ours, it became about exploring non-hierarchical versions of leadership, which really spoke to me because, yeah. Again, in terms of that personal grappling, I saw these stories of God showing up and rather than being hierarchical, actually inviting people and empowering people and sharing a vision for something different, an alternative community that was really just and equal and inclusive. Mm. And exploring that in the context of starting a church, we thought, actually, I think we need a team leadership style here because that expresses the kind of leadership that we see in the Bible, in which I think I see as being healthy and empowering and just.
Yeah.
Mm.
So what is a good leader not? What are they, you know, from your perspective?
Yeah, I've done a lot of learning about the way we bring insecurities into our leadership.
Mm, yeah.
And the way that so often ends in abuse and harm, because those are really serious and, you know, not ideas for me. Like I see the harm day to day in the people that come and join our church, in my own story of the way that we have been harmed through exclusion and discrimination, and, you know, other people will have their own experiences of this. But I think those insecurities that leaders bring in, or those fears that leaders bring in, which do end up being abusive and discriminatory. Yeah. And they fear collaboration, they fear new ideas, and they often end in being oppressive and toxic. Mm. So I think those, just to name a couple of things, I think are bad leadership.
I mean, it's interesting because I think a lot of those kind of outcomes and behaviors that you're talking about do come from our own, like, as you said, insecurities or fear as leaders. And that kind of then, you know, that self-protecting what, you know, we have, and then putting that on to other people, which, as you say, becomes, you know, disempowering and, you know, and even toxic and abusive. And unfortunately, you see that a lot. I mean, a lot of the work that I do in leadership development is in the corporate space, or working with, you know, large not-for-profits. And I see the traits and behaviors in leadership often. And often I find the leaders just don't have awareness. They're not aware that their behavior, their actions, their thinking, you know, just their means of operating as a leader are causing issues and creating fear and causing exclusion and, you know, being, you know, discriminatory, or, you know, all of those, and creating some awareness around. I mean, there's, you know, this big move at the moment, you know, out there, particularly in the corporate world, is this whole diversity and inclusion piece. And there's a lot of great kind of work being done in that area. You know, when you connect that back to the context of, say, the church, I kind of feel like we're years behind in so many ways in understanding what true diversity and inclusion means in that context. Do you have a thought on that? And you probably have many.
And it's really, I think mostly it's very ironic that the church is catching up to diversity and inclusion, because it's a key foundational belief of the Christian faith that all people are welcome and have gifts to offer. So, yeah. I mean, my first thought is just how ironic, and I know this way too well. That's all. Yeah.
So share a couple of your other kind of learnings in your kind of leadership journey, things that, you know, you've had to either adjust or learn or create change around for you personally as a leader.
So in terms of not letting insecurities or fears come into my space as a leader, and really believing that a foundation of leadership is that you are there to serve, that's a key and a core definition of leadership that I have, has been about setting up healthy relationships around me. So as a leader, personally and vocationally, I have my peers, I have my colleagues, and I have other people leading me. Yeah. And I think they have, you know, there's like relationship compasses, and I think there's all these kinds of models which talk about having people around you, both on your level and above you, so that the people who you're leading just get you without your insecurity, there to serve, there to lead, there to bring your gifts in a way that isn't, I guess, biased or bring in unhelpful baggage, for want of a better word. But you're there, and you're there to be a good leader. You're there to really do what you're going to do without anything else inhibiting you from serving, showing up and doing that well.
Yeah, I definitely agree, because I think, you know, the journey of a leader has to be around self-leadership. It has to be around me becoming the healthiest version of myself, because the more healthy I am as a person, the better I'm going to be in leading others. And I think, you know, a couple of things that you see, like having people around you, whether that be mentors, coaches, people that are actually, you give permission to speak into your life honestly and vulnerably, I think is so critical to developing, you know, what it means to be a healthy, empowering leader. And I guess it's, you know, in whether that's, you know, leading a family, or whether that's, you know, leading, you know, a massive organization, to me, it's, you know, the goal for all of us has to be wrestling with our stuff, so that we don't put that onto others that we're leading or empowering or walking alongside, and just being, I guess, honest about that as leaders, and being vulnerable and being kind of raw to that point where, you know, we're okay with admitting we made a mistake, or we're okay with asking for help. I just think are really important lessons and learnings for leaders and young leaders today.
Yeah, and I think it's important for two reasons, because it is about that health and well-being and that personal sustainability, and you actually surviving through everything and come out the other side and you're flourishing and you're still like full of life. You know, it's about that personal sustainability and feeding into yourself so that you are doing well as a leader. And then there's this other side about transparency and accountability, which is so important as well, that you have people who are going to point out your blind spots, who are going to say, actually, I think you have potentially some trauma here, or some misjudgment here, or biases here, to protect people, you know, from that coming out. So, yeah, two really important things in
Yeah, I think that second one is such often I see such a big challenge for leaders particularly leaders that may have been around for a while. They find themselves in a key leadership role, to be open to someone being able to speak. Hey, are you aware that, you know, your behaviors are creating this or impacting people in this way? I find a big challenge for a lot of leaders is to be open to that, because it is confronting and it requires work. And it says that, you know, there's still things that I need to develop in me as a person, as a leader, you know, in my journey, regardless of kind of where I am at as a leader.
Yeah, and because I think that, you know, you spoke into this a little earlier when you said leaders are sort of seen as non-human or outside, or they're just not part of the community like anyone else. I think that can work, you know, it's this double-edged sword that I think works of we get excluded and we don't have that nourishment in community, or people don't check in on us or treat us in the same way, or maybe they're critiquing in a way that I'm still a person here.
Yeah.
please have empathy for me. But then also the fact that we see leaders being kind of outside and being able to operate on a different level means that that's when abuse can happen, and when unhealthy versions of leadership can happen, when they're separated and when there isn't that accountability. Yeah. So it's just like they're so intertwined. But I think also it speaks into that self-doubt as well, because you have your people not only like calling you out on your stuff, but people who are saying you're doing really well in this area too. Don't question yourself there. Yeah. Actually, that thing that you're questioning, that's come from somewhere else. That's not true.
Yeah.
And really being able to build you up and support you and having that network is just so important for so many reasons.
It's interesting. I read a quote this week, and I apologize because I have no idea who said it, but it was about empathy, because you mentioned empathy before, and I was like, you know, that basically their quote was, you know, the greatest quality of a good leader is their ability to be empathetic, and how that trait is often the one thing that we don't see, you know, in leaders. I agree. I think empathy is so important as a quality of a strong, you know, good, healthy leader, to have that ability to be empathetic.
Yeah, I think empathy might be one of the newest buzzwords coming up.
Sounds like it.
But I love it. Yeah, I'm all about it. Can't fight against that empathy vibes.
It's good. Well, we're almost out of time. It goes quick, I know. Thank you so much for sharing some of your insights and some of your journey. I've got sort of three little questions just to wrap us up. If you could give one piece of advice to emerging leaders around the world, what would it be?
I've been banging on about this for a little while, but it would be to find your people, to find people who are your peers, your friends, your colleagues. Really invest in those relationships, because they will invest in you and tell you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And they will also save you from mistakes and help you navigate, and as well find the people who can lead you. And really set yourself up for success and health for you and the people that you lead.
And they will help you not make mistakes, but they'll also hold you when you do.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. What about a book or podcast that's kind of, you know, has impacted you in the kind of leadership space that you could recommend?
Yeah, this one was difficult because I don't read heaps of leadership materials. I'm generally into the theology realm and the church realm, but one that I recently read was Built for Change.
Okay.
And it is from a Christian perspective, it's a practical theology of innovation and collaboration in leadership by Reverend Dr. Steve Taylor.
Cool. And the last one is, you know, it's a big question, but what's one thing that you want to be known for?
Just one thing is difficult.
you can give me more than one if you want.
I think I kind of say this a lot. I think I want to be known for creating safe spaces, for being invitational and just, and by creating those safe spaces of well-being, showing a different way. That's so much a part of my faith and about the way that I lead, and it's part of New City Church is alternative communities that are healthy and beautiful. That's what I want to be known for.
Awesome. Love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us and part of your story and, you know, what you've walked through. I think you're doing an awesome job, and just, you know, I just want to see you flourish and your faith community flourish and continue to make the impact in people's lives, as I know you want to do. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for putting this together. And just an encouragement to any emerging leaders out there. I still see myself in as an emerging leader. Keep at it. You're doing great work.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, and you take care of yourself, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.